Well, good morning, everybody. Throughout the Advent series and season, Donette was the featured speaker. And as soon as the Advent season was over, she looked at me and she says, "I quit." So I'm here. We're going to be looking into God's Word this morning, the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And this is commencing a five-week sermon series on the book of Romans, which is dovetailing perfectly with our Sunday Bible study series from Right Now Media. And we're going to be resuming that the first week of February, where we gather around the table and we look at some teaching videos in the book of Romans, and we discuss God's Word together. So if you're interested in that, that's going to be the first week in February. We'll be looking into God's Word in the book of Romans. And this week, we're going to start off by looking at the problem of sin. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25, and then jumping over into the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 27, then chapter 6, 10 to 12. And as we look into God's Word, we see the problem of sin in our lives. God has made Himself known to everybody, bar none. Everybody. No one is without excuse. Nobody is without excuse. But rather than choosing to worship the Creator, we worship created things. Rather than choosing to worship and glorify Him, we have chosen lesser gods like money, fame, success, sex, and substance. And herein we see the problem of sin. And it results in our disconnection. Our disconnection from God. We cannot save ourselves from this fallen state. We need a Savior. All hail King Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, give us the courage to take a stand against sin in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending us Jesus. All hail Him. All hail King Jesus. Thank you that we can rest in Him and on the power in our battle against sin and temptation. We can rest in His power. We pray this in and through your heavenly name. And God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. So we're here today starting this five-week series in the book of Romans. And I don't know, if you're not familiar with the book of Romans, Romans is the most systematic and developed doctrinal book in the entire Bible. It's the most systematic and doctrinal book that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. The probable date for the authorship of Romans is about A.D. 56 to 58. And it was most likely written at Corinth toward the end of Paul's third missionary journey, just before he left to go back to Jerusalem. And it's interesting to note that the book of Romans we've discovered in our Bible study series was once used by the Harvard School of Law as the perfect example of stating your case and logical thinking. The book is full of principles of living our faith and our life in response to the grace and mercy of God. In response to the justice, grace, and mercy of God. Now, many of you know that I love photography. I'm a photographer. It's one of my hobbies. This lady went to a photographer to get her portrait taken. So she sat and posed quite nicely, and he set everything up and had the lights all nice. And he took her picture, and he showed her the picture, and she said to the photographer, "I don't think that does me justice." He looked at her. He said, "My dear, you don't need justice. You need mercy." you. Ouch is right. We all need mercy, don't we? We all need mercy. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks learning about the problem of sin, the rescue from sin, the pursuit of righteousness, God choosing us. Believe it or not, He chose us, and a living sacrifice. So be prepared. It's going to be a wonderful study of the book of Romans. As I mentioned before, these are core principles of our faith and worthy of our study. Paul is passionate about the power of the gospel. And at the very beginning of the book of Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. Everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Paul knew, as we know now, that the gospel was meant for everyone. Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, you and me. Doesn't matter. There is no partiality in the grace of the gospel. There is no partiality in the mercy from the cross. And thank goodness because of that, because there's no partiality in sin. It does not discriminate or pick favorites. It affects everybody. And to understand the grace that God gives, you got to understand where we are in our sin. So if you got a Bible app, anybody online, if you're tuning in online today, get your Bible, app, your iPad or your iPhone or whatever app you've got, turn to Book of Romans chapter 1. And here is what Paul says. We're going to start reading at verse 18 of chapter 1. Says this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what they be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, of the immortal God, for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Hallelujah. They exchanged the truth for a lie. Isn't that just like Satan? The father of lies. That is an incredible passage from the Apostle Paul. He's just got done encouraging people and talking about good news, but now he has shifted to speak about a subject we don't like to talk about in the church very much anymore, and that's sin. And you and I are affected by it. Sin is something we can all relate to because we all are affected by it. Back in the very first book of the Bible, God created a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. God gave them free reign over almost all of the garden they were placed in, with only one stipulation. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we all know what happened. Yeah. Even though this was the rule in place, they broke it. Because the first man and woman both sinned against God by disobeying his command, each man and woman after them are impacted by the consequence of this original sin. And this is the reality that Paul is writing about. This is the reality that you and I now are living in, so many thousands of years later. Can you believe it? 2024? Happy New Year. We are living in a state of sin. No one is exempt. But here's the crazy part. Even in our sin, God still revealed himself. Paul talks about this in verses 19 and 20. No one has any excuse for not knowing God because of the ways he's revealed himself, his invisible qualities, through the visible ways and means. Now, my dad, Pop, used to go behind my grandfather Percy's house in Newfoundland. And there was a back 40 acreage, and it was all filled with forest and trails and woodland creatures and everything. He would wander the trails behind my Pop Percy's house. And that's where he met Jesus. That's where he met Jesus. Because God revealed to himself to my father in the nature. All created things. Why do some people go to the stars to find out the future when they can go to the one who created the stars? Donette and I love sitting around the campfire and looking up, seeing the Milky Way, and praising God for the vastness of his creation. Because if we don't praise him, the very stones will cry out in praise. But it amazes me that toward the end of Jesus' life here on earth, he was brutalized and eventually put on a cross to die for sinners like you and me. And all the while, God, who is all-knowing, knew that there would be people who saw who God was, knew about his sacrificial love, and still would turn their back. He turned their back and simply walk away. Just like the rich young ruler. Remember that? What must I do to be saved? Lord Jesus, tell me. Oh, what an opportunity. Sell all you have and follow me. Oh, can't do that. Turns his back and he walks away. Interesting thing about that study and that story, you don't see Jesus coming after him. Oh, don't, just hold on. Let's talk this through. Maybe there's a compromise. No. Jesus let him go. The decision was made. He knew what he must do to be saved, but he turned his back and he walked away. Maybe some of us in this room have experienced that. Maybe some of you online have experienced that in your own life. You want to share something about Jesus with a friend and they just turn their back and walk away, or they ridicule you and they laugh at you and they'll put you down. Take heart, my friend. Jesus knows. Romans 1:24-25 says that God gave people over to the desires of their heart. They walked away and they traded the truth for a lie. They traded the invisible power of the divine creator for the powerless images and idols that they made with their own two hands. This is the trade-off many of us still struggle with today. We still struggle with this. We may not have idols of gold, silver, wood, or bronze that we bow down to in our homes, but guarantee this, there are idols everywhere. And when we willingly give ourselves into the hands of powerless idols, we unknowingly give the devil opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Hallelujah. And life more abundant. Life to the full. Praise God. Interestingly, the Bible actually instructs us not to allow the devil to have a foothold in our lives. Ephesians 4:27. And do not give the devil a foothold. What does that really mean? I like getting into the actual meanings of words in Scripture. Stand your ground, people. Stand your ground. The original word here is translated as foothold, also means place, ground, or opportunity, and is frequently used to describe an actual place. An actual place. Another way to think of this idea would be betterly translated the term real estate. Don't give the devil real estate in your heart. Don't allow him a room to dwell in your mind. Because he will come in. And he will buy up the real estate of your heart way over the asking. To your own detriment. People in real estate know buying and selling is all about location, location, location. And that's what the devil is about. Location, location, location. That's what he's looking for in our lives. He's prowling around, bidding his time, patiently waiting for an opportunity to occupy the real estate of our heart. Location, location, location. In the Genesis account I referenced earlier, where Adam and Eve sinned, the devil had taken up space in the garden. He then used this space to whisper lies in their ears about who God was and what he said to them. And the strategy of Satan has not changed since the Garden of Eden. It's still about location, location, location. He's looking for a similar opportunity in your heart and in your life and in your heart and life online. He's after location upon which he will build a case against the truth of the Creator and will want to replace that truth with his lies in your own heart. And this here is the main problem of sin. Our sin alienates us from God and gives the devil opportunity to buy up real estate. When we worship idols, what's an idol in your home, in your heart? Maybe it's the car you drive. Maybe it's that certain website you go to every now and then. Is there an idol in your home, in your life, where the devil has gained a location and is purchasing up real estate in your mind and in your heart? And you're starting to trade the truth of God for a lie. When we worship idols, we harbor unforgiveness. When we lie, cheat, and steal our way to success. When we willingly give ourselves to sin as it's we've opened the door to our lives. Hey, Mr. Devil, come on in. I got a great piece of property here. You may want to have a look at this. Great location, Satan. And that invitation, my friends, is going to end very poorly. The market value of your heart will plummet. It's not one you want to willingly extend. Instead, the Apostle Paul reminds us later in Ephesians 6 about standing our ground and wearing the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. And there's a picture of two ships. You probably saw this. One ship at the top was a big cruise liner. The ship on the bottom picture was a battleship with guns ablazing. Christian life is not a cruise. We are at war. What ship are you sailing on? What ship are you sailing on? We must recognize the devil has evil plans for our lives. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy any and every good and godly thing you might have going on in your heart. Donette and I have noticed in our own ministry over the years, whenever there is a movement of God, the very next morning, Satan comes in and tries to bring us down. Whenever there is growth in your life, Satan will come in and try to bring you down, to squash the truth and give you a lie. So you got to learn to stand your ground while pressing into the Lord and his mighty power. We cannot do this alone. We cannot give the devil a foothold. We cannot give him 1 inch, 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter of real estate in our hearts. Thankfully, God knew we couldn't fight this fight on our own. We couldn't muster up any army big enough or build a missile strong enough to win the cosmic battle of salvation. We needed a Savior. All hail, King Jesus. Hallelujah. All hail, Emmanuel, God with us. We needed a Savior. Hallelujah. We just celebrated his coming. God is here in our midst. God is here in our midst right now. He is here in Whitby Salvation Army Corps. We needed Jesus to come and conquer sin and death. We needed to be rescued. Rescue for sinners, the song was saying. A ransom from heaven. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There isn't a person alive today who has not sinned. Genesis 4:7 describes it like this. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you have to rule over it. Sin is always crouching at your door, waiting for us, waiting to pounce. It desires to have you, to own you, and to rule you. I see so many things in our lives and on the news today about addictions, all kinds of addictions, and people are being ruled by everything. Trying to find happiness at the bottom of a bottle or the end of a needle or in a stranger's arms. But we must stand firm on the truth of the gospel and in the power of Jesus Christ. We cannot give space for the devil in our lives. So my question for you today, here and online, Where can you eradicate sin in your own heart, in your own life today? What can you confess? What can you repent of? What can you turn away from? What can you pull the plug on? Whose number do you need to delete? What relationship do you need to say goodbye to? What idols do you need to pull down? What credit cards that you need to cut up? What electronic devices you should destroy? What is holding you back from taking a stand against sin in your life today? And Paul creates this picture of who we are without Christ. And as we go through the book of Romans, we're going to see his salvation. So stay tuned for next week, because God is doing a mighty thing. God has sent his son Jesus as our Redeemer. I'm wondering if we could sing in these closing moments, there is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done, because the work in Ken Percy's heart ain't done yet. The work in your heart ain't done yet. We need a Savior who is Christ the Lord.